Joan Ford. I thought we might finish up today till I got brushing up on on my studies. On Sunday morning, I like to go back over every message I've got to do for today, and I got a little carried away on this one. So we may not finish it today, especially since John was so long-winded. But I'm just teasing you, John. Jonah chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 9. If I can find Jonah. It's in the Old Testament. There he is. Right where we left it. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hadst not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than six score thousand persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Jonah's final lesson. Now, even though Jonah, and I think this is important, because I identify with this, he was wrong. He was wicked. He was acting contrary to God. And in spite of that, God deals with him in grace and mercy by teaching him a final lesson. God again asked the prophet a searching question. God then gives him a number of reasons why he spared the wicked Gentile city. But he reiterates, before he had said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And now he's asking him again, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" You see, God was justified in sparing Nineveh because he had more right to show pity for that city than Jonah did for the gourd. There were thousands of inhabitants in Nineveh, but there's only one gourd. Jonah was foolish in showing more compassion and more caring for a gourd than for the souls of men. And he was angry at God for taking away his source of comfort. "Why did you kill that gourd?" How many times do we allow creature comforts and material things to cloud our judgment with regard to the importance of the souls of men? Jonah's teaching, or God's teaching Jonah, that the souls of men are more important than temporary gourds that come up in a night and perish in a night. And then he tells Jonah, "Jonah, you didn't labor for that gourd. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't nurture it. You didn't sustain it. You were not even the owner of that gourd. He enjoyed the shade solely because of God and God alone. We all do well to remember that when we plant our gardens. Any fruit that comes, any harvest that comes, ultimately it's God. Now, I know we plant, we water, we do it in hope, and Jonah did none of that. But ultimately, anything you get from the ground, you owe to the goodness of Almighty God. If people would just get back to that, if they would just get back to just common sense thinking in the way they do things and realize that yes, there is a God, He does work in the affairs of men. He's the one that blesses us with growth and with seed time and harvest, and He's done so for 6,000 plus years of human history. I really believe that people would be more cognizant of a relationship to God Almighty. But we're living in a day and age where people have no thought of God whatsoever in anything that they do. In fact, most people are looking for ways to completely eliminate God from their thoughts. Now, Jonah didn't own the gourd. And here he was arguing with God over a gourd that did not belong to him and that he had bestowed no labor upon. God owned the city of Nineveh as the sovereign creator. I believe God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Now, you may have a title at the courthouse that says that plot of land that you own, that you live on, belongs to you. But in reality, it belongs to God. And God has every right to do what He wills with His own. The people of Nineveh were the work of God's hands. They belong to Him by right of creation. God is Lord over all. Men don't make God Lord. They don't make Christ Lord. He is Lord. Because of who He is. And it's inconsequential how men may view Him. He is Lord over all. God is the one that had given the Ninevites life, and He's the one that had preserved their life. And therefore, God had every reason to have compassion on them, far more reason than Jonah did to have compassion on the gourd. God's teaching Jonah, Jonah, you are so short-sighted. You are so selfish. Think about this, son. You're more concerned about a gourd that perishes than you are about these thousands of souls that I just saved, that I granted repentance to. And then God goes on to explain that Nineveh was a great city. It was an ancient city of great antiquity. It had been around for a long time. The gourd came up in a night. It perished in a night. Its existence was short-lived. The city of Nineveh had been around for centuries. They had lived in heathen, pagan, idolatrous unbelief. And God, to prove a point of His power and the exercise of His mercy, determined to send a Hebrew prophet to that city proclaiming repentance. And God had mercy on them. Should not God show pity upon a city that had been under the care of His providence for so many years? How could you find fault with that? These are lessons Jonah had to learn. Because he was so concerned with his own personal welfare. And Jonah was pretty self-righteous. He thought he deserved, as a Hebrew, that he deserved to go to heaven because he was a partaker of the covenants and the law and the worship. But those filthy, rotten Ninevites, those godless Ninevites, may God help us never to have that kind of attitude toward people. Nineveh was made up of thousands of people who had eternal souls. Now, regardless what the climate commies want you to believe, you know, the Green New Deal dudes and gals that's really worship the environment. They're climate idolaters. Listen, plants don't have souls. Animals and plants and trees are not more important than human beings. Human beings are the zenith of God's creation. He gave man dominion over the beasts of the field. Men are not to worship nature. And yet we have that in our world today. That gourd was only a plant. Jonah had compassion for a plant, but not for the souls of men. Now, if you don't think this is serious about how people worship the planet and the world, my sister showed me some kind of declaration about the New World Order. She studies this stuff all day long. She knows every little prophetic detail there is. And she knows all there is to know about Israel and how this is all coming about. But she brought out a very interesting thing about the people that are bent on this climate agenda. They believe that the world can only sustain 500 million people. Now, you know how many people there are? How many? That means you don't know. I thought there was 33 billion. How many billion are there, Jason? Jason, of all people, I thought you would know that for sure. You look so nice today with your tie on. How many billion people are there in the world? Anybody got a guess? Alan? What? Where am I? Well, let's just put it this way. There's billions of people. And they want to trim that down. This idea of human overpopulation has been in existence for a long time among those who believe in social engineering. And they want to whittle down the population of Earth to 500 million people. And I hate to tell you all this, but you're not going to be included in the 500 million. They're going to get rid of you. probably first, if you believe the Bible. Yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I am not looking for, I don't have a persecution complex. It's not something I want. But it's coming. Because the world is at odds with God. They want to whittle down the population. Jonah had compassion for that plant, but not for the souls of men. Plants wither up and die. There are no eternal consequences because they do not possess souls. Jonah was more concerned for a soulless plant than he was for the precious souls of men. And God taught Jonah that the souls of men are much more important than gourds or his own self-interest. You wonder how much just one soul is worth? Jesus said in Matthew, he said it again in Mark, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" One soul is worth more than all the world and all of its treasures and all of its riches combined. One soul. So one soul is definitely worth more than many gourds or material things or creature comforts. And we'll end today with a quote from John G. Butler. These are convicting comments on how unbalanced Jonah's attitude and his compassion were. Does this not mirror our own compassion, our own concerns and interest? Much to which we give our time, attention, and loyalties is in the gourd category. We make money more important than morals, our jobs more important than our family, our popularity more important than our character, our recreation more important than our consecration. He has in parentheses, and many churches seem to agree, for they spend more and more on recreation. Our work more important than our worship, our material and physical well-being more important than our spiritual well-being. He cuts right to the bone. May God help us to learn the lessons that Jonah did. And next week, I got one more point on the lesson, and then some practical applications. And then we're going to be done with the book of Jonah. Almost a year to the day that I started the series, which I think is pretty good for me. So next week we'll finish up Jonah, God willing.